Bismillah ve elhamdülillah ve salatu selam ala Resulillah. Allah Almighty has ordained three types of inner selves that influence people at different times throughout their lives, depending on how much control a person allows them to have. The self that commands evil, the self that blames, and the tranquil self. To clearly understand one's own state and determine where one stands among these three inner selves, it is essential to open an important door, a door that should never be closed or, worse yet, locked entirely. This door is the principle of self-critique, being honest and candid with oneself so that one can recognize points of deficiency and correct them with the blaming inner self, and identify points of correctness and enhance them with a tranquil inner self. Thus, by utilizing both of these inner selves, they tighten the reins on the inner self that commands evil, so that it cannot reach what it would have otherwise reached without self-scrutiny and holding themselves accountable with complete impartiality. Scrutinizing oneself is one of the noblest and most courageous tasks. Despite its burden upon one's soul, and the breaking of its pride to compel it towards what is right. Through self-examination, we confront our shortcomings and strive for self-improvement. Through it, mistakes are corrected. The ugly is replaced with the beautiful, and the bad with the good. No one knows a person's faults and mistakes better than themselves, no matter how many excuses they make, as Allah Almighty says. But man will be a witness against himself, even if he presents his excuses. We are all in dire need to engage in self-scrutiny without hesitation, fear, or procrastination. By focusing intently on examining and cleansing ourselves, we overlook others' faults and instead recognize the flaws within ourselves. Indeed, in Allah Almighty's words, and I swear by the self-reproaching soul, there is clear evidence of the importance of self-critique, self-blame, self-correction, and giving them constant attention without neglect. Allah does not swear in His book except by something of great significance. And in his interpretation of the Quran, Ibn Kathir cited that Hassan al-Basri said, "By Allah, we do not see the believer except blaming himself. What did I intend with my word? What did I intend by eating? What did I intend with my thought?" Whereas the transgressor proceeds without blaming himself. It has been said long ago, the inner self is like a treacherous partner. If you do not hold it accountable, it will take your wealth. One of the righteous predecessors said, "It is incumbent upon the wise person not to neglect 4 hours, an hour in which he calls upon his Lord, an hour in which he holds himself accountable, an hour in which he meets with his brothers who inform him of his faults and are truthful with him about himself, and an hour in which he allows himself to enjoy the permissible and commendable pleasures. For in this hour is support for those other hours and relaxation for the hearts." To effectively critique oneself, it is necessary to follow a structured approach based on three stages. The first stage is admitting the mistake and not letting pride and arrogance prevent them from that. Admitting one's mistake is better than persisting in it, and no one is free from error. In the authentic hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "All the children of Adam are sinners, and the best of sinners are those who repent." The second stage in self-critiquing is desisting from the mistake and correcting it by moving from what is right with all humility and submission. This includes making amends and seeking forgiveness and apologizing to the one that they wronged, and ensuring that their apology is not worse than their mistake. Otherwise, they fall into two errors instead of one. The third stage is being cautious not to repeat the same mistake, for the believer is not stung from the same source twice. This means learning from one's errors to prevent future missteps. Also, one should beware of falling into what others have fallen into, for the happy are those who take heed. from others, and that wretched are those who fail to learn from others and persist upon their mistakes. And self-critiquing does not mean excessively reproaching oneself to the point of stifling or psychological burnout, or becoming consumed or among the doomed. There is a difference between constructive criticism, which moves one from purging to adorning, from bad to good, or from good to better, and destructive self-criticism that leads to despair. And self-critique does not mean self-contempt and disdain that leads to despair and laziness, resulting in the disease of procrastination and inability to act, which both lead to regression and failure. For indeed, the one who overexerts themselves neither covers any ground nor preserves the resources. The one who critiques themselves within the ordained framework is occupied by their own faults over the faults of others. It becomes a motivator for them to work on what benefits them and does not harm them, and what sparks their ambition, not what dampens it. They are concerned with understanding themselves before understanding others, thus adhering to the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, "Strive for what benefits you, seek help from Allah, and do not be helpless." Know that self-scrutiny is the first stage of praiseworthy criticism. We highlight its importance and its impact on improving the individual's character, which necessarily reflects on society, which is composed of individuals, because it is foundational. If it is good, the branches will follow suit in goodness. A society improves when its individuals improve themselves. However, it should be noted that during self-critique, a reprehensible trait may afflict a person, that is, casting blame on others to justify their mistakes and shortcomings, and absolving themselves from their faults and failures. Thus, they fall into what is called psychological projection, which is a defensive mechanism that the deficient person employs to escape the consequences of their shortcomings and misdeeds. They attribute the cause of that to others, fleeing from admitting their mistakes and thereby blaming others. As the old proverb says, "She accused me of her own faults and slipped away." This is a downfall with its own perils, which those whom Allah has granted hearts to understand with, eyes to see with, and ears to hear with should not overlook. Allah reproached the believers on the day of Uhud when he said about them, "Why is it that when a single disaster struck you, although you had struck in the enemy in the battle of Badr with one twice as great, you said, 'From where is this?' Say, 'It is from yourselves. Indeed, Allah is over all things competent.' Therefore, it is befitting for Muslims to be clear with themselves, candid in their self-critique, earnest in their correction, and sincere in rectifying their path. For if the tree trunk is straight, its shadow will necessarily be straight. Otherwise, they risk becoming burdens to themselves and their society, weighing down various aspects of communal life. Such is the case only with the lazy and idle, who wait for the sky to rain gold or silver while they recline on their beds. They expect rewards without effort while contributing nothing to their community. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, 'Every person goes out in the morning and sells himself, thereby setting himself free or destroying himself.' May Allah benefit us and you with the guidance of His book and the Sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Indeed, Allah is all hearing, answering. Hada wa salatu salam ala rasulillah."